Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Free For All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. Joining me today is our audio specialist extraordinaire. He was with Catholic Answers. Now he's with NCC Audio. Nick Chamberlain is what one of the crew that makes the podcast possible. Without him, we would not have an amazing podcast like we do. He helps to make the sound crystal clear and wonderful. And he's given me some good tips on growing the podcast. And so it's been fun to collaborate with him. I've known Nick for a long time now. And Nick is also a fellow Texan, actually. He's only a few hours away from me. So today we are going to talk about the secrets to a successful podcast. Maybe you've always wondered, what does it take to make a podcast work? And maybe you wanted, because here's a great thing, everyone listening. If you're listening to this, you can do a podcast. You want to go and talk about something and put it out there for people to hear? You can do it. It's not just for the elites anymore. And Nick actually helps lots of people get their podcasts started to grow them. That's kind of what he's gotten into more now in his career. So Nick, welcome to the show. Is that right? Is that kind of what you're doing now?
Yes. Hey, Trent. Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah. So in this past April, my family and I, we moved from San Diego to Round Rock, Texas. So that's just north of Austin. And so currently I am going full-time on taking care of my kids and full-time on building my podcast production business.
I've been taking care of kids full-time, working full-time. Hopefully you'll be able to retain some of your hair. So,
oh, yeah. This is a crazy time in my life right now. It's a very interesting transition period. But my family and I, we really wanted to get out of California and get back home to Texas, and which has been great.
Oh, because you're from Texas.
We are, yeah. So my wife's family is from Laredo, Texas, and my parents are in Houston area. And my older brother, he lives here in Austin, and my younger brother is in Houston as well. So we are finally near family again, which has been a blessing.
You're liking it more than California?
There's certain aspects. There's a lot of pros and cons. Of course, in California, on the weekend, you can go down to Coronado, La Jolla, and just enjoy the beach. But here, in Texas, I get to enjoy my freedom, you know. It's very family friendly here in Texas, which I appreciate 100%.
Yeah, yeah. Let's jump into some of the podcast stuff. So you help people. I mean, you know, if someone just say, "Hey, I want to do a podcast." Let's kind of walk through. Let's say somebody's listening to this and there's something that they really care about. Maybe it's a hobby, maybe it's a subject. You know what's funny? There's another, I wish I had just unlimited time. You and I both know what that's like.
Yeah.
There's so many things I'd like to do. Maybe I will just do this for kicks. I don't know. But I wanted to do a podcast on like disasters, because I'm always big into disaster.
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Exactly. Analyzing disasters and had a name for it and everything. And I don't know. We'll see if I ever do it in the future as like a hobby or something. But yeah, like people listening might have something you're really interested in. And you think, you know, I guess what's hard is some people might be overwhelmed at trying to start a podcast. Other people think, oh, you know, I could just do it myself on my computer. It couldn't be that hard. How do they get started?
Yeah. So I'm helping people right now to launch their podcast. So I'm trying to break down all the steps and make it into a simple process. And so now I have pretty much a 4-step process. So in step one, it's the pre-production. And so this is when we go over the purpose of your podcast and the why behind it. And we brainstorm who your ideal audience is. And we come up with a description. And then I help you to discover, well, what kind of podcast art and logo do you want? So we're forming the podcast and the idea behind it. And then from there, we go and we outline your show structure. And so you know before you start recording what you're going to be talking about and your ideal listener and like the structure of your podcast.
Yeah.
And then from there, we get into the second step is the production. And that's the recording of your podcast. And so I help.
Yeah. Well, before we go through each of the steps, so
yeah.
Pre-production. So I guess the 4 steps, I'm guessing pre-production, production, post-production.
Yeah. And then publishing.
Publishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because I think that before anyone makes the episodes, mm-hmm. it's important for you to have an idea. What is it you're trying to set out to do? And I think one thing we can comment on this is that some people think in order to do a podcast, like, okay, I got to do an hour every week, or I got to do 20 minutes a day, or you'd be like certain podcasts. What's great about it is you got flexibility. You can just do once a month or 10 minutes a week. And my advice to people is usually, hey, if you want to start with this, start as realistic as possible. If all you can do is 10 minutes a month, just do it. People will want you, if they see you're consistent, then that shows the interest. Do you kind of include that in the pre-production?
Yeah, I do. We go over their like content mapping plan, their strategy plan. So I kind of go over, it's like, okay, how many podcasts would you like to produce? Like, where would you like to be in a year from now? And so usually it's, I want to do, they tell me one podcast a month, so 12 episodes, or bi-weekly or weekly. So usually it's, we try to stick around 12, 26, or 52 episodes within a year, and we try to come up, have a committed plan, because the hardest part about podcasting is being committed and consistent. And so we work with your schedule and try to figure it out.
Go online, you see like a really cool podcast, and then it's done. It's like a canceled TV show.
Yeah.
It's like unceremoniously, that was it. We never find out what happens to Alf when he gets kidnapped by the government agents. I should do a whole Free for All Friday just on series finales that left unanswered questions. And one of those is the series finales for the TV show Alf. Did you watch Alf? You might be too.
With the creepy little character?
I thought he was lovable, but yeah, he's kind of creepy. The Muppet Reject Alf. Yeah, you're right. So, and I think that's good. Now, another question I have then, if someone wants to do a podcast, some people, you know, like, I mean, I do a weekly one now. I do them, you know, almost daily, definitely weekly. For some people, weekly can be like they want weekly, but they couldn't do like 52 weeks. I've seen some people where they do like a season. It's like weekly, but it's only for like 12 weeks. And they market it as like season one of Trent Horn Unplugged. And they like might do 12 episodes with you, pre-recorded, it's done. Schedule, and then over like 3 or 4 months it comes out, then take another 3 months, work on more, and then season two comes up 6 months later. Is that something else you do?
Yeah, you can do that. Sometimes it doesn't really make sense for to do seasons if you don't have a storyline, because a lot of the times it's like one season is one story, season two is a different story. But if you know you're a busy individual and you're just like, I'm just going to do 12 and take 3 months off, and then you can call them seasons like that also. There's a bunch of different ways to use podcasting. Another way is you can just create a series of like 10 to 12 episodes and you're like, that's it. This is my one permanent series I'm going to do. And then you can use that for if you have like an educational thing, or if you want to use it as like some kind of marketing tool as well.
Yeah, let's jump into production then. So you line up, this is the topics I want to discuss. This is how I want to do the podcast. Well, I guess bridging into production, when you work with people, it's funny because when I do podcasts, I mix it up on, I've listened to podcasts. Some podcasts are scripted and some are not. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a big debate there. Do you want your podcast to be scripted?
Oh, yeah.
Or do you want it to not be scripted? There's plus and minuses to both. And I will tell people, I kind of do both. My rebuttal videos are scripted because, I'll tell the audience this, people who are listening and when I go through things. I script things when I'm very concerned about particular points I'm making, where like, I do not want ambiguity. I do not want to like misspeak. And so it's easier where I don't want to say something off the cuff that's incorrect or misleading. I'll script it out. But if it's something where I'm just talking about a particular issue, I will do it without a script and it'll just be kind of free form. So it depends. And I have listened to podcasts that do both. I listen to good scripted and bad scripted, and good unscripted and bad unscripted.
Yeah.
So, I'll throw my thoughts on each of those. I'd love to hear your thoughts, but the bad unscripted is when they just banter a bunch, especially when it's two people or three people and they're just yapping and they're not getting to the point. It's like, oh gosh, I don't have time for this. But then the scripted, sometimes it sounds so robotic. I'm like, I'd rather just read your article.
Yeah.
So you have to really practice, if it's scripted, reading the script naturally. But I don't know your thoughts on the scripted versus unscripted.
Well, I would normally suggest that when you're planning out your podcast episode is to have an outline so you know what you are going to be talking about. And you can have it as...
Yeah, I do that for my unscripted ones.
Yeah, so as detailed or not as detailed as you need it to be. But the scripted, that's going to be very helpful for those who want to do this, like a documentary style, like a story, and you want to make sure you have all the points in there and it goes very well. And if it's that's NPR style. I don't work on that so much. It's one episode takes of NPR. It takes like a team and it takes them like a week and it's like cost so much money. I'm reading a really good book called Make Noise. And it goes into like kind of the background of like how NPR produces their podcasts. And so that has been very interesting to read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I would recommend this too for people who are doing a podcast to have an outline. When you have people coming to you, what percentage of it is solo, one person, or is it usually more than one person?
Most of the people, it's interview style. So they're going out there and reaching out to other people to interview them.
Okay.
And
because when you have two people, you could have a co-host or you could have, today, my guest is.
Yeah.
So
most of the time, it's either the solo podcaster or the solo podcaster who's interviewing someone else.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, because I don't come across in the Catholic world, I don't come across a lot of solo podcasts.
No.
Those are my favorites. If it's someone who really knows what they're talking about, I could just sit, and even just in general, I could just sit and listen. I love a little good old Dave Ramsey rant or Scott Hahn lecture. But if it's someone who knows what they're talking about, I'd rather just hear from them and not just like interview or things like that. But it's harder. You gotta be really organized with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. You gotta really be able to focus on talking to people, not at people when you're doing it.
That's very difficult. I've seen a lot of podcasts or people just starting a podcast, they're not focusing on their audience that they're talking to. And so that's the big thing. If you listen to Trent, which everyone here does, it's like he does a great job always referring back to the listener, making sure everything he says is that the listener is understanding what he says. And it's not just the Trent Horn show, listen to what Trent Horn has to say. You're inviting the listeners in and to have like a two-way conversation.
Yeah, and I'm trying to make it feel like I'm talking to you. And that's one step in having a good podcast is, like, when I'm doing this, I get kind of weird when I'm talking to, I have my little camera in front of me. I just look, it's almost like I pretend that's like another person. It's like Wall-E or the robot from the movie with Steve Gutenberg, Short Circuit.
Yes.
Johnny Five is alive. No disassemble. Catholicism and pop culture references in the 80s. You can always count on them. And they count on the podcast. But that's really important to be able to focus on your audience. And I'm glad to see you coach people and in that direction. Let's talk about gear. I think a lot of people are intimidated. So we got production, right? You got to sit down, you got to record and make this happen. And some people think, I don't have tens of thousands of dollars to do podcast recording gear. How do you advise people there?
So I usually take people down two different routes. The first route is I would prefer you to get, this is not the route I want people to go down, but this is the affordable route. You get a dynamic USB microphone and you plug that directly into your computer and then you plug your headphones directly into the USB microphone. And then that's just, like a Blue Yeti. That's a condenser style. It's perfectly fine to start off with. It's just if you have a noisy room or loud neighbors or something, it's going to pick up every little detail, while a dynamic one won't pick up all those intimate details of your mouth.
So USB, you just plug it into your computer.
Yep.
You've got your little garage band or your program.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just ready to roll, especially if it's a podcast. If you combine it with get a webcam for $100, you can also put the stuff on YouTube, which is kind of related.
Yeah, no, that is. And then the second way is the preferred method. It's you can upgrade it over time. So you get a dynamic microphone And then I have attached to this is in my XLR cable, and that goes into my, yep, I want that microphone that you have, Trent, but it's a little expensive right now for me. And then
that's why I'm grateful to the patrons of TrenthornPodcast.com. Yes. You give us, that's why we make it, it sounds so smooth going into this one.
I really like that microphone. My Trent has the RE20, the Electro Voice RE20. And then, so going back, you have your microphone, you plug it into your audio interface, and then you plug that into your computer.
I can pull this over here.
Yes.
I'm wrecking my whole system. Come on. Come.
All right, what do you have? Oh, snap.
The Behringer, baby.
Look at that, everyone, if you're on YouTube watching this.
No, this is 8-channel mm-hmm. board. See, on YouTube, you can see this. I don't think it's messed up the recording yet. We'll find out. But this is what now what's funny is I only usually use one channel. I could do a phone to call in. I could sometimes, well, no, I use more than one, and I have interview guests. When I've had the boys and Laura here, I plug another microphone in.
Yeah.
But it really allows you to edit it and get that smooth sound and keep the signal. I guess you can explain it better. Like your signal's a lot fresher. That's not a great description.
Fresher. It gives you some. No, but what's cool, good about, you don't have, when starting off, you don't have to go as advanced as that huge mixer right there. Yeah, so they're really not that bad. And that's plugged into your computer, correct, Trent?
Yes. This is a Behringer 24-bit processor. Mm-hmm. It's the X1204 USB, but it's USB. So out of this mixing board, it has a USB cable that goes right into my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little, I mean, honestly, it's not, if you get a nice, you get a Shure microphone that sounds just as good as, almost as good as this one for like $100.
Yeah. So I'm using a $100 microphone plugged into this PreSonus audio interface, but it's the Focusrite is usually the go-to one. The PreSonus or the Focusrite, they're all $170. But the cool thing about this is you can upgrade your microphone, and because with a USB microphone, you cannot upgrade it. You're stuck there. And with this technique, you can upgrade it. You can change your mic stands, your boom. I need to get a boom arm stand or a table stand. I'm using like a big like tripod stand. Yeah, so it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, mine, the way I use it's just a little table stand. Mm-hmm. And it gets the job done. It's just right here, and I like that. But yeah, what's nice about this setup, if you get a regular Shure microphone and the soundboard to go into your computer, you get that for like $300. Mm-hmm. You get a basic board, basic mic, the XLR cables. I have these headphones I'm wearing. I think they cost like $20.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and here's what's funny about these headphones. I specifically bought headphones that don't have a microphone.
This is
very important. buy a headphone that does not have a microphone, because sometimes I plug it into my computer.
Yes.
So for me, I'm not plugged into my board. I'm actually plugged into the computer so I could hear Nick. I mean, I could run an auxiliary.
I
like doing that. But sometimes I've done interviews with people, and what's recorded is not my nice microphone. It's my headphone mic.
Oh, no. And you didn't even know.
And I forgot to switch it over, or it automatically switched over, and I listened to it. I'm like, oh, I sound like I'm in a tin can, because it's just a crummy headphone mic.
Mm-hmm.
Like the mic on your earbuds.
Yeah.
So I bought a headphone specifically that had no microphone. That way that I could just know, hey, it's going to run mm-hmm. just on the mic that I've, that I plugged in. But I think that that's key. It's like, if you're going to do this, there's so many podcasts out there.
There are.
I'm going to be honest. Like, if you can't come up with $300 for this, I don't recommend starting, because there's just so much that's out there. It's just so easy. It'd be different. There was a time when it was like $3,000 to get to the level you need.
Yeah.
But now it's not that hard. Like, people are so used to the podcast audio being at a good quality, they're not going to tolerate mediocre quality. They just won't.
Yeah. Nowadays, I'm listening to like professional podcasts, and their guests are calling in with their cell phone on a Zoom recording. I was like, come on, guys. Like, it's super simple to record your audio locally, and there's programs out there to have high quality recording in the internet.
Oh, the interview thing. That's important, because mm-hmm. if you want to do a podcast and do interviews, now with you, this is good. You got a mic and a good internet connection.
Yes.
You're rock solid. I did an interview recently, where the guy had a bad connection. Well, you know that. You had to edit it.
Yes, I had to edit it, yeah.
In fact, you know what's funny is I edited it before I sent
I know.
It to you.
I was surprised you did that, but that's okay. But the thing...
I wanted to save you a little misery.
Okay, well, thanks, Trent. But the thing is, like, it's just recording your audio locally so you don't have to worry about the internet connection. So if the internet drops out, your local audio is recording on your computer or your portable recording device.
That's the trick.
Keeps... Yeah.
We're not recording this one locally because I trust you have a good connection and it's running just fine. But they have programs like Zencastr. You introduced me to Riverside.
Riverside. Man, you're not recording your audio locally, so I got to get the Zoom recording out of this. Oh, man.
I know. I should have just done my Tascam right to this.
That's what I thought you were doing.
I feel like it should be local, though, because it's on my end. Well, I guess no, it's going to Zoom. It's recording on my computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it takes the Zoom recording audio and puts it in there. So you got to be careful of that, you guys. But it'll be fine.
That's why Nick teaches me something every day. Something every new. But so with the interviews, getting the local audio recording.
Yes.
I think we need to just transition more people. I'm going to check out Riverside. I used Zencastr before, but now that I'm doing more video, Zoom is just kind of... People also like Zoom. They're used to it. Mm-hmm. But... I'm surprised Zoom hasn't built in a feature like this for people.
I think the paid version, you can do originals.
I have paid Zoom and like, I've tried to get like both sides to hit record and it still sounds kind of crummy.
Yeah. You have to hit original sound on, you have to turn off all of the processing effects and you have to make sure you have to go into the settings. So it's more a learning curve while the Zencastr and Riverside, you just go and you log on.
I used Zencastr once before. And I think for future going into interviews and things like that, I'm going to, now this still sounds great to me. I think it's way better than anyone else. You know, what's funny, actually, what I did recently to really up my connection quality. Because here's what's hard. My modem is downstairs. And so I'm up in a closet in the second floor. I mean, I have a window. It doesn't feel like a closet. But I'm far away from the modem. I tried a extender, those $30 extenders from Amazon. Those things are junk. Piece of junk. They don't work at all. I bought Google Wi-Fi. Let's see if I can find it.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Nice.
It's a Google Mesh Wi-Fi. You know what's funny? Actually, I left my other unit downstairs. I give it to my wife sometimes when I'm out of town just to have faster internet to the TV.
Oh, neat.
But actually, it's running fine now. I just did a speed test. I'm running about 150 megabytes a second.
Oh, wow. That is really, really good.
Yeah. So actually, there's another mesh back here on the top of the second floor. It's right above the modem. Mm-hmm. So it's Google Wi-Fi. To totally cover your home might be like $500.
Oh, well.
But you can get like, if you have fiber optic, because I have fiber optic connection, but by the time it makes it to my closet, it's like 10 megabytes a second or something. Mm-hmm. So I'd recommend to our listeners, you want to improve your internet speed just in general, if you're doing this stuff, I've like Google Wi-Fi. It's really good.
Oh yeah, that's good. And like one of the benefits of interviewing people, you get to network with people that you never imagined you would be able to. And it greatly increases, like, if you want to be ranked on Google, the more episodes you have and the more episodes you have of other people, they're going to be sharing your episode. Yeah.
Let's jump to, so we did pre-production.
Yeah.
Let's say you did it. You did the recording. You got the right gear. You locally recorded your audio.
Yes, it sounds great.
Now it's post. So what I do, everyone, when I finish these episodes, I send, I do minor edits so that Nick doesn't have to... I don't have to send you instructions.
Okay.
I did it at the very beginning. I had you cut this and that, but that's way too laborious. Because anyone, I think, can learn to go in and do cuts.
Yeah.
But then what I send to Nick is he masters it. Because he knows the audio, the levels, the richness of it. So tell us about the post process.
Yeah. So in the post production, it starts off with going, I guess my technique is, I guess, original. So that's why I'm trying to build my YouTube channel right now that just focuses on editing and the post-production process, because I've learned a ton of like tricks over the years on how to do it so quickly. So what I do first, I format all the audio so it's all the same file format. I know that might be kind of confusing, so I make sure it's all mono, 44.1 kilohertz, 16-bit, and then I'll go through and then I'll do the equalization to make sure it sounds good. I'm not sure. I don't want to get into all of the technical details on what it does. So you're just manipulating the frequencies so it, to make something sound better. So if, yeah. So the basic things for podcasting are your S's. So eliminate the crazy S sounds, or if it sounds too muddy, I always roll off some low end so you don't have some random like low, like that helps all your pops. Like if you don't have a pop filter. And then from there, I do the dynamic processing to get everything to around negative 20 LUFS. So this is before I add the music. So I get it to around there, and then I go through, I do noise reduction, and I do some auto gate, some gate. So it really also depends on the file. If it's, yeah, so I don't want to get into
You tweak all little things that people, they yes. don't notice until when they play it back and they see mm-hmm. you've cleared out the extra noise, you've helped to, even just basic levels. I mean, you've saved yes. me a lot when I've recorded with guests who have soft mics. Sometimes when yeah. I record with guests, I see this happen while in the recording, there's nothing I can do about it. I'll hold the mic far away from me because I have a booming voice, but I can see they've kept the mic too far from them and they come off softer. And you go in and you can just balance yes. it out.
And so I use tools such as compressors and multiband compressors, hard limiters, normalization, so I can go through and do all that a little quicker than going to each little waveform and making it a little quieter, a little louder. And so I've automated all the processing too on how I do all this.
Oh man, that is nice. All right, so we've done, let's see, pre-production, post. Let's say they've sent you the file, mm-hmm. nice and crisp and clean, you've got it. But then the last thing a lot of people forget about is how do you get a podcast out there into the world? That would be the publishing.
Yeah, so the publishing, I try to keep that as simple as possible. I partner with this service called Megaphone. There's a bunch out there. There's Libsyn, there's Buzzsprout, BuzzFeed, there's SoundCloud. And you just pick it. It just depends on what you need it for and like your services
provided. You can
always
tell they all sound the same. If I start one, it'd be Podgood. Oh, you Podgood. Podgood? It's Trent Horn system. Podgood. It's great. It's good.
No, I love that. And so what's cool about Megaphone is you upload your audio there. You put the title, the description, which episode, season, is it clean? Is it explicit? This is where you schedule your show. And then you hit publish, and this gives you the RSS feed that you need to then to submit to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Amazon, anywhere that you want your podcast to be, you have to submit your RSS feed. And the reason people use these services is because the hosting services create the correct RSS feed. And so you could create your own on your own website hosting, but then you have to do some HTML code. You have to figure out which is how to do that correctly. So that's why I usually just stick to a hosting solution for that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Nick, for walking us through the stages. Is there anything else you'd recommend? Otherwise, where can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about podcast production?
Yeah, of course. No, not so much. I am trying to teach people more about the podcast production process, and you can learn more by going to nccaudio.com. And I do have my own podcast, the NCC Audio Podcast. And I'm going to be going into like a new direction with my podcast. And so instead of having one called NCC Audio, I'm going to change the name of that. And it's going to be how to use podcasting to build your business and how to monetize it. And then I'm going to start a second podcast for dads in business. So we're going to talk about work-life balance. And I'm going to be starting a third podcast with me and Brandon Manderson. And we're going to be talking about kind of like life hacks and like project management systems. We're going to be reading what are they called? Just like self-help books and taking the Catholic perspective from that. So reading like secular self-help books and be like, okay, we're going to apply it to our lives with a Catholic mindset.
Nice. So nccaudio.com?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. If you guys want help with your own podcasts or audio editing, anything like that, check out Nick. Definitely show him some gratitude. He's done a lot of great work to help my podcast to grow. You should definitely check him out if you are interested in learning about and doing more in podcasting, check them out, nccaudio.com. And then definitely, of course, check out trendhornpodcast.com. Get bonus content, help us support everything we're doing there. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I hope that you all have a very blessed week.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit trendhornpodcast.com.